Blessed Days in the Company of Vishwanatha Swami, Part 1 by Evelyn Castillo Safair. When we first arrived at Sri Ramanashramam in 1973, in the company of Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata, it was dawn. We unfurled the Arunachala Ashrama banner, a glorious creation of bright ochre cloth and bold letters declaring the name of Arunachala Ashrama, and marched to the old hall chanting Arunachala Shiva Ki Jai. This was to be the fulfillment of an inspiration conceived by Bhagavadji, inspired by his days of moving and marching in the service of the Indian independence movement. In reality, when we arrived at the gates of the ashram, we newcomers were quite overwhelmed. In fact, so overwhelmed that it was difficult for us to utter the cries that would have made any impression. Sri Ramanashramam then, as now, was clothed in a cloak of the most pristine silence at the dawn. Well, this is how I remember it, and others may remember it a bit differently. I am mentioning this incident as it marked our entry into Sri Ramana Loka, the blissful atmosphere of Sri Ramanashramam that drew us and continues to draw ever-increasing crowds of devotees to itself like metal filings to a magnet. It was on that very day of wonder that we were ushered into the small and austere room of Vishwanatha Swami, who sat cross-legged on a chowki in white cotton dhoti and cloth wrapped over his shoulders. Our band of devotees included Sri Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat, his wife Yogamaya, and son Bhaskar, John, and Matthew Greenblatt, Dennis Huttle, and myself. The Swami's room was devoid of decoration, and there was no evidence of any possession whatsoever. Vishwanatha Swami was in a state of bliss when we were ushered in and seated in a row on the bench opposite his chowki. His first words to us penetrated my heart like an arrow and resonated with what in our hearts we already knew. There is a center in man where there is no ignorance, where there is pure awareness. At that moment, I understood that we were in the presence of one like Bhagavan. One felt his absolute authenticity, his spiritual greatness. Yet, Vishwanatha Swami's spiritual wealth was cloaked in the guise of a devotee. Bhagavan had advised his closest disciples to avoid the role of spiritual preceptor and its complications, and Vishwanathan had taken this to heart. Years later, in 1979, Vishwanatha Swami had confided to me with a modest laugh, "When I was born, my father consulted an astrologer who told him, this child will rise high. What could be higher than to be a devotee of Bhagavan?" It was soon after that we went on our first pradakshina with Swami Vishwanathan. At this meeting, he was ebullient. Clearly, his natural state of mind was filled with the bliss of total immersion in Bhagavan's presence. As we walked with him around the hill, he opened our eyes to its wonders and to the carefree happiness that he and his fellow disciples had experienced while going around the hill in the presence of Bhagavan. Those were, of course, different days. Days before noisy trucks and buses, and days in which the hill was covered in vegetation and inhabited by wild animals of all sorts. Bhagavan and those close to him at that time might spend days going round the hill, cooking at different locations. Vishwanatha Swami would take us to various places where they had lingered with Bhagavan and say, "This is where we sat, this is where we sat, or this is where we cooked. Let us sit here a while." At one spot he faced the mountain and called out in a booming voice, "Annamalai." And we heard the name of the holy hill echoing back as if the mountain itself were rejoicing in the sound of its sacred name. Oh, what a joy! It was to us all as close to being in the physical presence of Bhagavan as we might have imagined. We could not see him, and yet we could feel him, the bliss, love, and delight of his proximity. It was on this circuit of the hill, our first pradakshina, shortly after sunset, that Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavata began to describe the practice of evening recitation that we did in Arunachala Ashrama, located at that time in the East Village on East 6th Street near 1st Avenue in New York City. Somehow, as we approached the town, we burst into song and sang as we marched, quite oblivious to whatever strange impression we might be creating. As we began the ashrama chants of Arunachala Shiva, our fervor and innocent enthusiasm overtook us, and we marched in the blissful presence of Arunachala Shiva back to the ashrama. I have no recollection of sore feet. We must have been truly out of our bodies, for we were going without sandals at the time, eager to accrue the punyam of being barefoot while circumambulating the hill. When we went to Vishwanatha Swami's room the following day, he told us, "When I first was introduced to you, I did not understand your spirit. No one has had the courage to do that." He also pulled us up on our pronunciation of the holy name of Arunachala, as we had been doing it in the North Indian style, Arunachal. After the first evening pradakshina, Vishwanatha Swami took an active interest in our small band. What an unspeakable gift! He took us on two more pradakshinas and also to many places where Bhagavan had lived and moved. It was as if we were given a complete reprise of the life of Bhagavan, filled with interesting anecdotes, punctuated with humor and laughter. We would ask him questions to encourage his flow of reminiscences, and he would share stories of Bhagavan without the least hesitation. He would also sing various Sanskrit compositions in ecstasy as we walked, and he would suggest that we take the name of Bhagavan from time to time. Vishwanatha Swami told us that the Bhagavan he knew and grew into manhood, which was very different from the aloof person presented in so many books. Bhagavan, he said, was the most entertaining, the most humorous, the most human of preceptors. He would portray each of the roles whenever he told a story. At times, Vishwanathan and his fellow disciples would be dissolved in laughter while listening to the stories of Bhagavan. This was the carefree attitude of Bhagavan with those completely and totally surrendered to him. He was not just their preceptor, but father and mother as well. In October of 1973, our two-month sojourn in India had come to an end, and we returned to our life and routines back in New York City. Vishwanatha Swami's letters came infrequently, so our hearts would leap whenever we saw his beautiful hand on a letter addressed to the devotees of Arunachala Ashrama. Some excerpts from letters received from Vishwanatha Swami follow. "May Sri Bhagavan and the Mother grant you unswerving abidance at the heart. The heart is the whole of Bhagavan's teaching in one word. and it has been clearly expounded in chapter 5 of Sri Ramana Gita. If possible, one should study it in the Sanskrit text itself. It is so inspiring. Bhuvanam manaso nanya dhanyanna hridayan manaha asesha hridaye tasmat katha parisamapyate 5.12. The universe is nothing but the mind, and the mind is nothing but the heart. Thus, the entire story of the universe culminates in the heart. If one gives up selfish activity, that is sannyasa according to Bhagavad Gita, the life of such a one, his every breath will be for the good of the whole world. Bhagavan was an example to all of such unselfish activity. May the blessings of Bhagavan be upon all of you forever. Leave alone individual relationships. Study the 5 verses on the one self of all, Ekatma Panchakam, again and again, and realize that there is but one self. We are all one in it. It is the last of Sri Bhagavan's utterances. Feel one with the whole universe. That is universal love.